Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Macaroni.
I was prepared that I had to redo some things. Now we get on the air and you trying to do some things. One day we're going to get it right.
They know how we roll.
Yes, Lord. Anyway, as I take a sip of water, excuse me. Russell Westbrook becomes the second player in 55 years. That's half a century. Over half a century to average a triple-double. And last night actually broke Oscar Robertson's record for most triple-doubles in a season with 42. This year seems like the year of the triple-double. You know, not just with him, it's been a lot of players getting them. Of course, he's had the most, obviously. Does this pretty much just, no contest, he's the MVP now? Can we put everybody else to rest?
Well, apparently not, because there's still people out there tripping. This is one of my little events I told you I was going on. Look, they was mad, and I say they, I use it loosely, but people were tripping when they said he was fishing, quote unquote, fishing for assist in the 76er game.
Right.
Really? Okay, people do that all the time. It's not a big deal. When you got an opportunity to break a record that's been standing for 50. You think if somebody had 98 points and there was 1 second on the clock, they wouldn't be trying to find a way for that person to score? Or if they had 99?
No, they would.
Everybody in the world would be trying to get them the ball.
Yeah.
Sitting there on the screen, they could trying to get this person 101 points.
And did you see his quote after the game? I can't repeat every word he said. Basically, you know, he was like, I was like 5 for 16 shooting. What else you want me to do? His shot wasn't falling, so basically he said he was, you know, trying to facilitate and get other people involved.
He can't win for losing because people don't like that he's not a kiss up. He's not a baby face like Curry. Not saying Curry's a kiss up, but he's not a baby face like that. He's not an antagonist like LeBron. And so, they don't know what to think about it. Because he's going to do what he want to do and don't care what y'all think.
Basically. He's literally made out of the Michael and the Kobe mold.
Yeah. And he won't feed into y'all, what do you think about this Durant game? And what are you, like, he's done with that. Like, if y'all want to keep talking about it, go ahead. When they kept asking him stuff in the All-Star game, he kept saying, did y'all see Fashion Week? I was like, what?
He kept switching it up on. That was hilarious.
I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal, honestly. Something that's been up there for 55 years. And yeah, Oscar didn't really have the many 50-point triple-double games that Russell Westbrook has had, 50s and 40s and 30s. But it's still an accomplishment to average a triple-double for an entire season like this, especially when, as we spoke about last week, you know, so many players nowadays, you know, sitting out for rest. And, you know, Russell's not one of those. He's one of those. He's playing every time.
Night in, night out, going 100 miles per hour every play.
Exactly. So this is.
But y'all know how he does it. Like, because he plays hard every play.
Yeah, he takes no plays off. He's literally, like you said, 100 miles an hour getting after it.
Speaking of somebody, I don't know what Cleveland was doing. Somebody tell them, you can't take time off, even when you're up 26 and going into the fourth quarter.
let's go ahead. Let's talk about Cleveland. That was my next topic anyway.
Synergy, that's what it is. Go ahead.
No, I had listed, even though I know the real true answer to this, I had, for a topic, Cleveland Cavaliers, real or fake contenders. I understand they're real contenders, but the way they are finishing off the season, I mean, they literally lost to the Hawks the other night when the Hawks set out four of their starters and Cleveland had everybody. And then last night,
I didn't know that was what happened. I just thought they lost. I didn't realize the Hawks. I was wondering why it was such a big deal. I was like, okay, why is this a big deal?
Well, then they came on a couple nights later and lost to them again, when Paul Millsaps and everybody was playing for the Hawks. So it's concerning. It has to be somewhat concerning, at least.
It's a little concerning because they're using a lot of energy to lose. No, they are. Like, early in the year, they were losing them games. And I was like, if y'all gonna lose and LeBron gonna complain about his minutes and being tired, if you gonna lose, there's no reason for you to allow all those minutes. And now, the concern would be if I was a Cavalier, what's his name? Tweaked his knee. Love is on him, get hurt. Y'all, one injury away from y'all being having trouble beating anybody in the East.
Yeah, because it's not like Boston and Washington aren't capable of beating them in a seven-game series.
So, I mean, obviously the Warriors too, but as long as they got Kevin or Curry, they're going to be all right. But if Irvin or LeBron don't play, Cleveland
going to
be in trouble.
Yeah, we're going to really see what LeBron's made of this year if he has to carry them without.
Because then Kyrie tweak his knee or something. They try to block it, wasn't a big deal.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
And Kevin Love been quiet. He might have been having some monster games. Like, he had a double-double, but it was like 12 points, 10 rebounds, or 14, like something, 10 points.
He's one of those that have a big game and you don't really hear much about it. It just kind of happens.
Well, he's going to need to put his mark on some games if they're going to win it again.
Staying with the NBA, but flopping over to the Western Conference.
What is wrong with L.A.? Can somebody call Magic for me? I thought we had this conversation last week.
Before we get into it, we didn't really speak too much about the fact that Magic and Rob Pelinka are pretty much running the show out there now, behind the scenes. We didn't really touch on that too much last week.
We thought our fans knew that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, they do, but, we didn't really expound on it too much other than just talking about certain things.
Give them the first one. Give them the 411.
No, it's just, since we've been gone.
Yeah, we have been MIA.
Since we've been gone, things have happened out in LA. The Buss family is, at each other's throats over control of the team right now, but Jeannie has moved in and finally got rid of her brother and put in Magic Johnson, and he's the president. What was his title?
Yeah, he's president of basketball operations or the director of basketball operations.
And Rob Pelinka, aka Kobe Bryant's agent.
He had more players than Kobe. Go ahead.
Well, that's just the main, just the most notable.
I feel like he also had. I'm pretty sure he had the bearded one too.
Probably did, and make no mistake about it. People are thinking, okay, where have I heard Rob Pelinka's name? If you watch the 30 for 30 on the Fab Five, yes, he is the Lagarde that gets set down by the rest of the Fab Five to start. And he took over the starter role in Michigan. Yes, he's on that team.
What did it work out for
him? Anyway, yeah, so he's not a GM of the Lakers. But as we talk about that, we have to talk about the fact that, you know, while the rest of the team, rest of the league, you know, is like trying to tank. You know, you got Phoenix out there tanking. You know, so many teams out there clearly tanking on the season. Philadelphia is doing it again. The Lakers have, at this to this point, have beaten the Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs back to back. What are you?
Then last night we had the nerve to beat Minnesota. Really? How are you going on a 4-game winning streak right now? The best thing that happened, though, was the Suns won, too. I was like, what is happening? Why?
Yeah, so they're winning, and do they not realize that they're going to lose that protected pick?
They keep playing games. Like, if we had a loss last night, that would have been good, because then I think we would have been tied with the Suns. Or not, I think they had lost more than us. Either way, we can't afford to win, if you can say that.
don't that just hurt coming off your tongue?
Yeah, that just don't even make sense. But we can't afford to win. Then we got three games. In the last 2 years, we don't beat Golden State in that last game. I really thought we'd lose to the Spurs, but that didn't happen. What we got? Who we play next? We got two more games before we play the Golden State. Either way, we need to lose all of them. I don't think somebody got the memo.
Yeah, y'all are going to wind up losing your lottery pick and putting yourself even further.
I'm going to have a sad face, because then that means we're going to have to go through. Who a free agent coming up? Do we know? Because we're going to have to find a free agent. Because Paul George is not coming up for free agency until next summer.
Isn't Russell? No, he got a contract.
He extended the heels when Durant ran off.
Yeah. What about Lillard? Damian Lillard.
Damian ain't being important. He's a man down now.
Yeah. No, y'all might be stuck. Y'all might be stuck for a minute.
So then we're gonna be bad again. At least I guess we're gonna have no chance of losing this pick next year. I feel like Blake Griffin or somebody should be coming up, right?
Oh, so he's just gonna change locker room, not necessarily change cities.
Well, they don't want him anymore. They're not gonna win anything.
Yeah, he's gonna wind up open.
That team has got to be busted up. Or they can keep it like they want to, I could care less. But that team gotta be busted up.
Don't matter to you, they still gonna be second fiddle, huh?
Yeah, always.
excuse me. I think if Blake Griffin winds up anywhere, I think, you know, there's something to the fact that he's from Oklahoma City. I think that there's a chance he could go there and go along with Westbrook.
That'll be nice for them.
Yeah, that'll be a nice 1-2 punch. And I think he fits better there, honestly. And I just don't feel like they ever really, you know, they tried to make it work in with the Clippers, but I don't feel like they have really meshed the way you need to mesh to win the big one.
When they do, they get injured, or they lose a 3-1 lead. Yeah.
Yeah, or they punch the equipment managers and and have to sit out a while. Yeah. Things happen. Funny. Things happen.
That's not funny.
Let's take a little switch on things and get away from sports for a second, and let's talk about what happened last Thursday. With the U.S. launching a military strike on Syria. First, let me just be comical for a moment. It wasn't comical at the time, because I was pretty upset. But if we're going to do a military strike on Syria, that's all well and good for the reasons that we're doing it. That's fine. But if Donald Trump ever interrupt Scandal with 2 minutes to go again.
Lord have mercy.
He lucky. He very lucky that Shonda Rhimes owns Thursday nights on ABC. And they were able to play the last 2 minutes after he got done speaking. But yeah, you talk about somebody upset. Because if I'd had to miss those last 2 minutes. And unfortunately, if you DVR'd it and you did not watch it live, you missed those last 2 minutes. Yeah.
They ain't going to get that on DVR.
Yeah, it's going to be on the next show. It moved into the next show's time slot. So, yeah. Anyway, I digress on that. But while I make fun of him coming in when he did, this was the first time since he was named president that he actually seemed presidential in his delivery and what he was saying. You could tell this was something very serious. And honestly, this is something you can debate all day long whether it was something need to be done or not. I truly believe that it was something that somebody had to step up and do something, because what was going on in Syria was, and still going on with, you know, the chemical warfare they got going on with their people, and basically just poisoning their people out over there with Assad. It's just somebody had to step up and do something. I think this is, you know. Like I said, first time our president actually sounded like a president. What are your thoughts on it, you know, as far as what you know about the situation?
I think, somebody has to step up and do something. But I've always said, why is it us?
Right.
Like, why do we feel like we have the moral authority with all the things that are wrong with us to go to some other country? Yeah, we're not doing the kind of things that here doing, but there are plenty of things happening here that are awful atrocities to minorities that we're not trying to fix. But then we run over to some other country and be like, y'all doing that wrong. And did you have any forethought? Like, okay, is that going to really stop that dude from being tried? And are you about to put us in harm's way?
Right.
So people don't like us already.
No.
And people definitely don't like you and your administration. Like, if your approval rate drop any lower, it should be some kind of rule if it gets to 25 that something should have to happen. Because I'm sure that, like, I ain't never heard of no president getting in the 30s like this. Like, usually at least half of the people like the person. Like, he was at 35 or something, 37 or something. But that's neither here nor there. Again, are you going to put us in harm's way by doing this? Like, all these travel bans and all this other stuff, I already got people feeling some kind of way about us. So.
No, yeah. I'm trying to get my words together. I feel like, we don't have to always be the one to go out there and play protector of the world. But at the same time, what is the end game? Obviously, we want Assad out as ruler over there. And you want to get rid of ISIS. And, you know, is this the best way to go about doing that?
Right, but do you want us to wind up in the war and send our people over there to die? Ultimately, like, because this one bombing is not going to stop the man from doing what he's doing. Like, yeah, they blow up some planes or whatever, but that's not going to stop him from being who he is. So in the long run, what is your strategic plan? Because if you could lay that out for me, like, this is plan A, this is part A, next we'll do this, this, and this. But I don't think they have that. I think they're just flying by the seat of their pants and being reactive instead of proactive.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case, but at the same time,
and I understand, I understand helping people, but if you take in some refugees, it's probably more helpful than bombing, because again, we'd be bombing and then you have these unintentional casualties.
Yeah, that's one place I wanted to go with this. You know, you banning, basically banning all incoming refugee type people out there, but then, you know, you're going to go over there and blow them up, blow up Syria, blow up this, that, and the other. You know, say you're trying to help them, well, why don't you just go ahead and bring them in? That's the biggest thing America's always doing. Go ahead and just let the refugees in.
Right, them people ain't, the refugees ain't the people that you need to be worried about. Some of them might sneak in, but some of them probably already here.
Yeah, there's going to be radical people regardless of what you do. There's always going to be some radicals out there. You got radical Americans.
Amen.
So,
like, I would rather that approach than, but, you know, we're about balance because we love our guns and he already talked about trying his budget proposal and putting more money into the military. And so, you know, we really tried, but we're not really about the peace. And I ain't talking about just this administration. Like, America in general has always wanted, like, well, we just gonna fight. No, we're not gonna talk it out. We just gonna fight.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be interesting to see, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week because, you know, this is going to continue to be a big deal throughout this coming week. It's something that all the new major news outlets are talking about, so should have more to the story.
I'll just say this very quickly.
Okay.
I think this is the first time in my life I've ever paid so much attention to world news. Usually I hear stuff and be like, oh, okay, let me see what happened. But this is the first time I've been intentional about keeping my ear to the ground on what's going on in the world and more specifically in America.
I agree. I feel like it's, and obviously, with the way social media is, it makes it a lot, not that's necessarily the case for you, but.
Right, because I don't have it. People be saying, this happened, I'm like, how'd you know that? Oh, it was on Facebook.
Well, I think that's a lot of the reason. A lot more people are out there checking out what's going on in the world because it's right there at your fingertips. Every second there's an update, and you get that update almost instantaneously.
Whatever. Yeah, I would rather not be bombarded with the information. I would rather seek it than just have it dumped on me.
Right. Well, like I said, we'll have more on this probably in the coming weeks, but just wanted to get your thoughts and let people know about what we thought about that situation. Well, let's move back into the sports realm and finish this off with a little NFL draft talk.
Well, after this, we got to talk about one more thing. I know you thought it's how to cut this. We got to talk about these new shows that don't, I don't know that people watch.
Okay, we'll get it. Let's talk about the draft real quick. Just about the draft, and then we'll get into that. My drafts are running wild. That's my notes here. Yeah. Kiper and McShay, you know, they're putting out this almost weekly mock drafts. And, you know, not a lot is changing up at the top. Both of them have Myles Garrett from Texas A&M, defensive end, going number one to Cleveland.
Let me say, Myles Garrett done told, he done made a threat. He threatened the people. Y'all don't pick him. He gonna try to kill your quarterback every time they play. I was like, really? Okay. You really want to be number one? Like, you pretty much are going to be, and you didn't need to do that, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I think he kind of had to do that because of the playful video he put out earlier where he was kind of begging Jerry Jones to trade for the number one pick. Because it's playfully, but a lot of people get it the wrong way. You know how that goes. So, yeah. But, yeah, Myles Garrett, number one. Then a solid number two right now. Both of them are saying that our San Francisco 49ers will be picking the defensive end out of Stanford, Solomon Thomas. I've seen a couple of Stanford's games and watching his highlights. He's a beast. So. Hopefully, and apparently he's done well for himself over here, you know, with the pro days and with the combine. So really, just upped his stock. They're kind of, you know, all over the place on where running back from LSU, Leonard Fournette, is going to go. McShay has him going fourth to Jacksonville, while Kiper has him, I think it's eighth to Carolina, which either one of those I think would be good fits for him.
Look, and he probably from Jacksonville, but they continue, like, they get people in. He probably don't want to go to Jacksonville. If I was him, I would want to go play with Carolina, honestly.
Yeah, well, you talking about the baddest Carolina was last year, and I understand.
I get that, but then when you talk about with his size and Newton's size, and now you running that little sweet option and all them quick, like, either way, you got a guy low coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Newton keep it or he handed to this guy that's what, 6'1" or something, 200 some pounds that can run 4.5 40. That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a long word.
That's coming at you from a lot of different angles and a lot of different ways. Another one the two guys are split on. Mel Kiper has Deshaun Watson, quarterback from Clemson, going 12th to Cleveland, which is a pick they get from the Philadelphia Eagles. While McShay, I didn't realize this. Maybe this is just something that just kind of slipped by me. McShay has him going 7th to the L.A. Chargers, basically being a, you know, heir apparent to Phillip Rivers in a couple of years, which I thought was interesting.
Well, Phillip is probably on the downward part of his career, even though you got people like Brady saying they're going to play to their 50. Good look. Well, with the rules changed and you can't look at the quarterback now, he probably can play that long. But yeah, at this point, I have my problems with the NFL, and then until Kaepernick is a free agent and gets picked up by somebody, I may not even be watching the NFL this fall, because it's too many people with bad character that's got a job. And because he took a stand for something that he believed in, y'all can't. He ain't at least the 64th best quarterback in the country.
And I mean, a lot of people are saying it's because of his asking price. You know, because basically he would come in to be a backup, and he's asking for starter money. But,
well, if that's the case, that's another story. So, I don't know, because then I read a story that said, oh, it's because he's big in lifestyle. And I was like, okay, how many excuses are we going to make?
Well, yeah, that you know, and this, the whole asking price thing is not even being readily talked about. I mean, I've only heard it maybe out of one or two people's mouth. But like you said, there's so many people out there who have done a million times worse than what he did. If you want to call it even being a bad thing. There's people out there who have,
you know, been drinking and driving and killed a pedestrian homeless person. Now, yes, it was run off as manslaughter, but nobody, if you didn't really follow the lead back, then you would have known that happened.
Right.
You got Ezekiel Elliott running around here pulling people's shirts down and building their breasts, which, out of order. They ain't said nothing about that. Like, is that okay behavior for a person in the league? Like, apparently so, because I don't know. Have you heard anything about him being reprimanded or whatever, anything?
No, and honestly, like, the whole domestic violence issue he has, where the girl,
Right, then you got that. I forgot about that.
And that investigation is still not over with. Even though they're trying to, you know, get it over with as quickly as possible, it's still not done.
And this is a league that has zero tolerance for this stuff, right?
Right.
Okay, NFL, stop with your lies.
Yeah. So, should be interesting to see what all happens here going into the draft and after the draft, as it pertains to Colin Kaepernick, see where he goes.
I don't know if we're going to get into battle, Macron. Before tonight, we might be off for next year, too.
Well,
supposed to
end. Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see if we could swing something before here and there. I don't think it's going to be a game-changer type of swing. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the new offense is.
Hey, can we talk about one more thing?
Okay.
We'll talk about the new shows later. Look, Vegas. I don't think that people understand. Shout out to Nick, because he was one of the people that talked to me about this a while back before this Las Vegas, this Raiders to Las Vegas move even happened. The people with money, the people that own the teams and all, they never want to pay to have to build a building. They want to make the taxpayers pay to build a building. Well, Los Angeles is like, no, we don't want to put that burden on our tax people. Like, they still plan for this thing.
Right.
Vegas is happy. But I don't know how, you know, schools are in Vegas and all this other stuff. But the money that y'all put into a stadium could help so many people that's underserved. But y'all excited about getting a football team. America got to get some kind of balance in their lives about sports. Now, I'll say this. Of the 300 million, 10 million of us Americans, probably a good 30% watch sports. And so there is some balance, but well, like, that's crazy. Because these people are going to be paying. Like, how can you still be playing for the Raiders Stadium? That stadium is super old. And the mayor or whoever was like, they are still paying on that. Like, they haven't finished the payments off for that stadium. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I read that in the article.
Wow.
Like, they had 2 more years of payments or something now. And that was one of the reasons I think that the whole thing fell through, because it was like, no, like, we don't want to put that burden on us. Like, because that's who paid for it, the people. Like, and then they all reap all the benefits. You get this free facility. You get the team. You're going to get all the merchandise and all the rights, like whatever money's laid on that end. And you really ain't paying nothing towards that building. And the people got to pay to go to the games. If it's they're popular, they're going to black it out. So a number of people won't be able to see the games, which I hate when they do these blackouts, but whatever. Yeah.
And not even before they, I know I'm jumping back around, but not even just before, not even talking about them getting to Las Vegas first. How should an Oakland Raider fan feel when now they got to watch their team play in that city for 2 years, knowing good what they're leaving? they got 2 years left watching their team play. This thing ain't gonna
you
be
better
team.
Know your wife or spouse, let me say, your spouse is about to leave you in 2 years, but you still got to take care of them.
And that's why
I think, like you love them.
Well, that's why I think they're pushing so hard to get this deal done, to get Marshawn Lynch, get him out of retirement, get his rights from the Seattle Seahawks, just so they can say, okay, you know,
we're
leaving you out of 2 years, but here's your hometown boy.
Well, we're going to buy you a ring.
Yeah.
We're going to buy you a $4 million ring and make you feel better.
Because honestly, if he comes back, of course, last we saw him, he was, you know, almost 300 pounds riding that golf cart at the Cal game for the alumni weekend or whatever that was. So we don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. But if he can come anywhere close to what he used to be with what Oakland already has, I mean, if Derek Carr can come back, you know, from this injury.
Yeah, quarterback was nice.
If he can come back from this injury, they already had a nice pieces in place. Marshawn Lynch could be the missing piece for them to go ahead and get them a ring and steal the Oakland Raiders. Get them a ring and go on to Vegas.
Yeah.
Sin City.
That's the only way that these Oakland people ought to be like, okay, well, y'all did win us a championship, but that ain't gonna happen. I know a couple of fans already was like, they done with them. Tweeted that they were done. So, I don't know how they love they Raiders, but I don't know how it's gonna turn out as far as. Well, I guess season ticket holders might be stuck, but some people just probably be like, I ain't going to that mess.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. So, do you have time to talk about the shows? We want to go to push that to next week.
Oh, I have time. I didn't know how much time. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, let's talk about them. What shows?
So shots fired. Great show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you like it, because I didn't know if you, I hadn't even got a chance to talk to you about it. I watch it as well. Love it.
So shots fired is kind of a role reversal of what's been happening in 2016. Thank God we had no shooters that we know about this year. So a black cop shoots a white kid and kills him in a traffic stop and a pullover. And now the Department of Justice has been called into some part of North Carolina. Did they say what city? I mean, it's probably a made up city. But it's in North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't think they ever actually specify.
Yeah. So now the Department of Justice has been called in to find out what happened. And the people are really not happy because it's like, okay, all this time things have been going down, and now a white young kid is shot, and y'all all up in arms. And so what it's trying to do is give you the perspective of, if the roles were reversed, what this would look like. Because black people already know what it looked like when one of the others shot. But now I think it, for white individuals that may have been indifferent about when black children get shot and not really could see it because it's not, somebody that looked like them. I think this show is doing a good job of saying, like, because when you see how the mama was really sad and was like, that man came, was he running for office or something? Wanted to have a rule where you had to call the parent if the child's under 21 when you pull them over.
Right.
And she was like, no, get out of my face. But then some other stuff went down and she was like, okay, yeah, we can do that and use my child as a model.
Yeah, she was really quick to change her mind.
But Sanaa Lathan is doing a great job.
She is awesome.
What her PTSD or whatever it is that's making her husband feel like she's unfit to have custody of their child.
Yeah, and I didn't really, the first time we kind of saw it in action was when she threw that vase or whatever that was.
At the head.
Yeah.
But she was kind of right. Okay.
Well, at that time, I didn't think nothing about it being maybe no PTSD or anything like that. I just thought, okay, right. You know, that's just normal behavior for.
Right, you have been disrespectful. I'm sitting here with my child that I care for 9 months, having a conversation, and you come in and talk about it's her bedtime. Excuse me, what? So what if she oversleep? Well, I gotta get her up, and she just was real nasty. Like, I'm like, lady, you need to step back a little bit. This is this woman's child, regardless of how you feel about it.
Yeah.
So.
But as time is going on, we do see that there is some more anger issues beneath the surface. That.
She cussed out that she didn't curse the little girl out, but she went off on the daughter when she's like, you blew me off on some shoes? I was like, lady, why don't you ask for the hook, your hood, ex-husband or whatever, your ex-boyfriend,
yeah,
and not go off on the child? You should have been like, put your dad on the phone.
Yeah, because then she, when the little girl's, I'm sorry, mommy, oh Lord. That was just right. Into that.
And that's out of order, because that wasn't the little girl's fault. Again, it was the father's fault.
Right.
You going to call a lawyer and lie and say, oh, I forgot she had something out pertaining to school, but then when you talk to the child, they went shopping. This is why I tell people, get a, well, they weren't married, were they? They were just dating.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, that wasn't a word for her. But yeah, Sanaa's doing a good job. I don't know who this, she's just an investigator for the DOJ.
Right.
The other guy, her partner, he's an attorney, but do we know him from anything else other than,
give me a minute, because I want to say he has been in something else.
He's doing a good job. Now, yeah,
he's very good.
He want to straight. He want to walk the line. He don't want to do nothing wrong. Get his hands dirty. Do nothing out of order. Because I didn't tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that another young man had been killed by a police officer, a black guy. And the police don't kind of spook the mom into this, like, forgetting that it happened. And so,
I knew that. You know what that boy's in? He was Jesse Owens in that. Right? He played Jesse Owens in the movie.
It sure was. Yeah.
That's what he was in. And he was in Selma. He played John Lewis in Selma.
Oh, I know. Watch that. Yeah. But, he is sleeping with the governor's assistant.
Which I did. Let me tell you, speaking of the governor, Helen Hunt, nice to see her back in the fold on things. Hadn't seen her.
Kind of scared though. I'm sorry.
I hadn't seen her anything in a while, and God bless her, she looking old. But
she was so scared. I was like, "What?" And she had like face surgery or something.
I don't know, but she does look very, you know, age gets us all. God bless us, but also, the sheriff of the town is the coach from, remember, the Titans that had...
Yes.
He's doing a... I think we're about to see more of him here this next episode than we have been.
The thing, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And like I said, it gives perspective. So, it also gives... us perspective on what the cop goes through, potentially, even though because he's black, I suspect that his experience is far different than a white cop would go through. But they struggle. His marriage is teetering. I mean, they don't put him on leave, or did they just send him home? But first, he had desk duty, and then he was at home a lot, so. I was like, they just send you home?
Yeah, I don't
until
know.
Until it was all over.
Yeah, they hadn't made it real clear. Because, like you said, he first got put on desk duty, and all of a sudden, some things went down, and now he's just, you see him home arguing with his wife every day.
And then you have the fake cop friend, who was the one that released that video of him saying that, he had a license to kill crackers or something, right?
Right.
On the video.
Yeah, when he first got his police stuff.
So, I'm interested to see what's going to go down. Because there's some bad, shady stuff going on. The preacher lady that's
Aisha Hines, Pastor Janae James, yes.
Yes, Pastor James, a man. And she got her own little skeletons apparently in her clothes while she running around like she all for the good. So that's a mess too.
Yeah, I'm so glad because I have not got a chance to talk to you about it, but I watched all the, I got caught up. I missed the first episode, got caught up going into the second one, and just been in love with it ever since. So, yeah.
You know I like it if they stay up to 9 o'clock to watch it.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, that's definitely something. I'm glad that you watched. Now that we'll have to keep tabs on it.
For all y'all people that's not rich and you got antenna TV, go to Bounce, watch Saints and Sinners off the chain.
Oh, Lord, Saints and Sinners.
Saints and Sinners. This is the second season. They are doing a marvelous job. Whoever writing it. They keep you wanting to watch it. Keep you wanting to know what's happening on it. So, kudos to Saints and Sinners. I haven't seen American Crime this year to see what the characters are going through this time. You know, that show changes every year.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline. With Regina King and him.
Right.
So, I couldn't tell you about that one, but... yeah, I got off the Empire train and Scandal. But I will give a shout out to Judy Smith. Judy Smith came to see us. I went to see Judy Smith. And she is super cool. Super, super cool. And she talked about how she wound up doing the work she does as she don't call herself a fixer, but a fixer. And it was really cool. And I was like, okay. And she, apparently, I didn't know this either, that she previews every script. Like, she gets all of them and gives notes on everyone.
Really?
For the last 6 years. Besides all the other work that she does, because she still, like, works.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah. And some of that stuff is stuff that she does, because the way she talked, she didn't just come right out and say it. But, like, when she came, she had on a white coat, and one of the people asked, like, and she was like, no, that's, like, what she, like, that's her style. And she didn't necessarily say she's as snazzy as, the character, you know, but
Olivia.
That's her thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
And the popcorn wine thing is hers, too. Like, watching TV with wine and popcorn. So I was like, okay, that's cool. Even though I don't like Olivia no more. I'm glad you made me feel better.
Well, well, well. Well, that seemed like a nice little place to stop this week.
Yeah.
As always, I'm one of your hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, hashtag Lakers, please lose. Davis, thank you.
What time is it? and this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.